Thank you for joining us today on the second episode of this new podcast series, The Benefits of Using Third-Party Professionals and Experts in Your Divorce. So I'm joined today by Michael Jessup, who is a chartered financial planner with Abacus Wealth. So welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. I think it would be best to just start with asking you to describe your job role.
It is, as it says, it's all about financial planning. A big part of what we do is helping people understand what their goals and objectives are and moving them to a position of allowing them to achieve that. A lot of people will say, well, oh God, I don't know how much I want to have when I come to retire. Am I going to be able to afford, you know, the next house? You know, what do I have to do to protect my family? And a big part of what we do is educating people and helping them understand what they can and can't achieve, and doing so in a, you know, with sufficient timescales put in there for them. Mm-hmm. A big part of it is getting to know our clients, making sure that you really understand who they are as a person, them as a couple, and sort of the wider family. Mm-hmm. Because by understanding that, you can start to really tailor the advice that you give to a client. Mm-hmm. By making sure that you understand everyone and understanding their position and what they're wanting to achieve, it really helps the process as well. So mm-hmm. it means that one, they're getting the right of them, but two, it makes them more comfortable mm-hmm. in knowing what the process is going to be. And there's different sides to that we end up putting in place. You know, we generally tend to define financial planning into two key areas. First part is accumulation of wealth, building up the various pots of money in life, mm-hmm. you know, savings, investments, pensions, things like that. But the other side of it, and probably, you know, very pertinent to sort of the role that you do, is mm-hmm. protecting the family. Yeah. Now, one part of that is making sure that we've, you know, underpinned any financial risk. You know, what happens if something happens to mum or dad, to the family? You know, is the mortgage going to be paid? Are the children protected? Mm-hmm. So certainly having those two elements considered and boxed off mm-hmm. is very, very important to a general, you know, financial plan.
Yeah, great. So how would you describe your average client base? Is it usually, do you get couples coming in? Is it individuals? Is it a bit of both? What would you say?
It can be anything and everything. You know, we deal with singles, we deal with couples. We actually, within our firm, have now a four-generation family that we advise upon. So, you know, one of the older advisors, he deals with great-grandparents, the grandparents, I deal with the parents, and then subsequently the children. Mm-hmm. And we end up in a position where, you know, we come up with a strategy which works very, very well. And intergenerational planning, I think, is becoming more and more important in today's world. Mm-hmm. Especially thinking about, you know, wealth passing down from parents to children. I wouldn't say we have a typical client. I mm-hmm. wouldn't say that, you know, we're better suited to dealing with a couple or an individual. It's really driven very much down to their own personal circumstances, how we work with them. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have a whole range of different types of clients, you know, people that have come from, you know, teachers, other professionals, solicitors, accountants, but we also work with a number of business owners as well. Okay. So our typical client is, there isn't one. It's mm-hmm. every client we treat exactly the same. We give them the best quality advice that we can mm-hmm. because you don't know how circumstances are going to change for that one individual. Mm-hmm. It's very important to make sure that by treating all of your clients correctly, you're not missing any part of their financial needs that needs addressing.
Yeah.
You know, you do the same process, the same job for every person.
Okay. So obviously being in Newcastle, a lot of people are familiar with St. James's Place, and we know that you're an arm of that.
Yes.
So can you explain a little bit more about how Abacus Wealth slot into St. James's Place?
Okay. So myself as the financial planner, we are working within the Abacus Wealth Management Company. So we are the financial advisory arm. Where St. James's Place sits is they're the, in effect, the investment house. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we provide face-to-face advice to the clients. We provide them with the solutions, but the solutions that we provide them with are a St. James's Place product or service. St. James's Place effectively sits, as I say, the investment house, with lots of these smaller advisory firms that sit underneath. And we're all mm-hmm. effectively doing the same job, advising on the same investment products that are available to us. The St. James's Place manages all of the construction of the financial products. So when we're talking about that, we're talking things like ISAs and pensions as a starting point. Mm-hmm. And what they also have is they have the array of in-house funds mm-hmm. that we have available to our clients. Mm-hmm. So the way St. James's Place does that is they have in-house funds, they select external fund managers to manage those, and they continuously monitor them. If through the monitoring process, there's a feeling that they need to change that, then it's in James's case, we can go and make the change. Mm-hmm. Where that benefit drives for our clients is very much that, well, we know that we can go and appoint some of the best fund managers from around the world. Mm-hmm. We're not having UK-based fund managers managing funds, say, for example, a Far East fund or a Japanese fund. Mm-hmm. We actually have people in the Far East, in Japan, working on the fund, as opposed to somebody who sat in, you know, another part of the UK. So that, for ourselves, takes away a lot of the risk associated with making sure that a client selected or is in the correct funds, you know, mm-hmm. rather than being, say, for example, what you would call in the old world an IFA, an independent advisor, mm-hmm. where you are looking at the whole of the market to see, well, what are the best funds? Mm-hmm. Now, in one particular time period, that fund might be the best for a client, but then the next year, it might not be. And what are the reasons for that? You know, has there been a change to, you know, governance in the country they're potentially investing in? Has there been a change to the fund manager? And all of those sorts of things. Whereas with St. James's Place doing that on our behalf, and the resource, the amount of money that they put into that process is unfathomable. Mm-hmm. It allows us to know that we, or for us, have the peace of mind that we don't have to worry about that. The investment solutions that are being put forward in terms of the funds, the managers, the monitoring, and so on and so forth, is some of the best in the marketplace. And it means I can do what I do best, which is focus on the person who sat opposite me on the table, to really, you know, focus more time on them rather than me spending all of my time trawling through databases to see which is the best fund.
Okay, so obviously we're here, and you're well aware of what we do and what my role is in this firm. And we deal with, a lot of the time, people going through separations or divorce.
Yes.
So how can you, as a financial advisor, assist parties going through those sorts of things?
I think a big part of it is, and it's very common, certainly in families and separation, there is predominantly one member of the family who is probably a little bit more aware or a little bit more in control of the financial situation. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but it's very common to find that be the case. A big part of, as I say, what we do is understanding somebody's aspirations, somebody's goals, somebody's objectives. A big part of it as well is an education point. You know, making sure that somebody understands the advice that we're giving. Why are we giving that advice? You know, what is the end state? So certainly, you know, when dealing with somebody going through a separation, it's understanding, okay, what are the financial ramifications of this going to be on your current financial strategy? Mm-hmm. Now, that could be obviously positive or negative, one way or the other. You know, if you think about, you know, selling up a matrimonial home, for mm-hmm. example, you know, can one member continue to live in the house? That could, for example, mean the children have their family home, mm-hmm. which I think is very important. So understanding, you know, what is affordable from that perspective. And I think another aspect is, certainly when it comes to things like pensions and pension sharing orders, again, it can be quite common to find that one of the two will potentially have slightly larger pensions than the other. So very common, it's a case of, well, the other is entitled to a share. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that can have a big impact on, you know, if we're advising the person who's losing that pension, it's a case of going, okay, what are the impacts going to be? What's that going to mean in terms of what you can potentially drive as an income in retirement? What mm-hmm. do we need to do today to try and help that recover and allow it to rebuild? Mm-hmm. On the opposite side, if we're dealing with somebody who is in receipt of the pension share, then that, of course, helps them understand, you know, what are they entitled to in terms of, can I use it providing income? How much income is it going to give me? How much is it increasing my existing pot by? And, you know, just to give you an example of a case that we've, you know, worked on together, the client is going to be in receipt of a pension share. Mm-hmm. The tax-free cash element that she's receiving from the pension, so mm-hmm. she receives a lump sum, 25% of it being tax-free available mm-hmm. to her, mm-hmm. she's potentially going to use that to allow her to buy, you know, a new family home, a new mm-hmm. home for her and her son mm-hmm. to live in. Without that pension that she's going to receive, she wouldn't be in a position where she'd be able to do it, or mm-hmm. to be able to afford a home that she wants, as mm-hmm. opposed to one that she can just about afford. Mm-hmm.
So if I was to instruct you, which I have in the past, to act for one of my clients, what would you say is the best time that I get you involved?
I think if, as soon as a client has approached you and said, yes, I would like to proceed with proceeding, which is an awful term of phrase, but, you know, at the point of moving forward and appointing yourself, probably from the very early stage. Whilst I appreciate the financial discussions that you might have with your client might be further along the line, certainly mm-hmm. having an understanding of what their financial footing is at the early part is actually going to be very, very useful. Mm. Because then that hopefully allows the client and yourself to understand and prepare what assets are on the table, mm-hmm. as part of the settlement. In terms of where our involvement can start, then again, as I say, you know, if we're having a conversation of, well, actually, there is a pension that's available here that we might want to share, that there might be, you know, need to have access to, or there are concerns around affordability for mortgages, just as a prime example. Having those conversations to manage expectations for your client, I think, is also very, very important. Where probably the formal advice piece starts is actually at the point of when the settlement is being made. You know, when at that point we know exactly what your client is going to be walking away with. But in the interim, we can start having conversations about, you know, what is possible, what is achievable, to again help them understand, you know, what they can and can't do.
Great. Okay, so I ask everyone who is joining me on this podcast three questions. So they're all the same. The first one is, what do you love about your job?
Well, this actually happened to me last week, which is, it was actually Friday afternoon. So it's a really nice way to end the week. Everyone goes to work. What do we go to work for? To earn a living so that we can build up enough money so that we can decide one day that we can stop working. It is. It's what everyone wants to do. The nicest thing is to be able to turn around to somebody and say, you can now stop working. You can choose to stop working and be able to say to them, based on these numbers, based on what we've discussed, you can now retire. You can live a fantastic, wonderful lifestyle for however long, you know, that may be. Whether they're retiring at 55, 60, 65, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to say to somebody that, well done, you've made it this far, you can now enjoy yourself. So that for me is one of the big things.
No, that's really nice. Like, all your hard work is paid off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So why do you think it's important for clients going through a divorce or separation to use your service as a financial advisor?
As I said earlier, I think there's a lot of people that don't fully understand finances. So a big part of that is making sure that the education piece is there so that they understand what their options are. And certainly when thinking about, you know, divorce for pension, or even, you know, the impact on children and things like that, making sure that they're able to plan for the future accordingly. Because, you know, something like divorce and separation is a huge upheaval in life. You know, making sure that you're financially secure is probably one of the nicest things to be able to say, especially when, if there's children involved, you don't have to worry about one less thing. You can focus on, you know, building a future again, and, you know, spending time with children, focusing on children, making sure they're okay.
No, I think that's a great thing, because I think it's a scary prospect, isn't it, when you've never known it before and you've never had to deal with it, and you can feel quite vulnerable when you're the one who now has to deal with your finances and make sure everything's in the right place to allow you to continue living like you were living.
Absolutely. And, you know, a very important part of that is, as I said, you know, earlier on, is what is the impact going to be if something happens? You know, if you separate, you know, the mother, you end up with custody of the children. Well, what happens if something happens to me? You know, are my children protected? And, you know, it is that first thing to think about and address. And yes, you may have had cover in the past with you know, the ex, but actually, is that still in place? Is that still right for me? You know, do I need to have more coverage? And as I say, and as you rightly point out, the lack of understanding of all of the, you know, even just the day-to-day general finance, you know, thinking about
paying the bills,
making sure you pay the bills, making sure you've got a cash buffer, an emergency fund behind, just to help support, making sure that you haven't got to worry about cash flow issues.
And finally, one piece of advice for someone going through a divorce or separation.
It's a very tough one, because, you know, the right answer would be, you know, find the person you want to be with and spend the rest of your life with them.
But then
that kind of puts you out of a job. I think certainly it's making sure that you have the correct team, professional advisors around you at the earliest point. You know, it's very common that these things happen and people wait until it's almost too late. And then at which point you're, I wouldn't say the word is scrambling around, but you're making potential decisions, life-altering decisions that may not have been fully considered. So by having that team around you, not just having the solicitor, not just having the accountant, not just having the advisor, making sure that you have them all together working in tandem to make sure that all aspects are being considered.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone for joining us on this second episode. So we will have the third episode next month, so please come back then. And if you'd like any financial advice, then we'll be putting Michael's details attached to this video. So thank you.
Thank you very much.